Amen. Well, all right. I tell you what, fellas, we're going to try to finish up with y'all before we move on to the ladies. Some of y'all probably don't got more than you want. We're just talking about the husbands of the home and what the Lord required of us. And what we want to talk about now, in verse 28, it says that, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, for he that loveth a wife loveth himself. A husband should be precise. A wise husband will realize that meeting the needs of his spouse will prove beneficial to him. That's what we've been discussing. And will make his life happier. So it's kind of like, if you get everything in the order that God intends it to be, it's all going to work together for good. It goes back to another verse of Scripture. You ever notice how everything is right? And everything that really works always goes back to the Word of God? It's amazing, isn't it? For all things work together for good. To them who love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This whole thing is for His purpose. And this whole thing is not directly intended for your lives to be better or happier. It's intended to bring glory to God, for you can be a worker for His purpose. That's why He saved us. So, husbands, remember this. When you're making things good for your wives, you're making things good for you. Thus, you're making things good for the home, and you're helping the home be better. Then, when you come into Liberty Baptist Church, Amazing Grace Baptist Church, you're actually an asset to the church. You're making things better in the house of God, and it all multiplies, it all mushrooms, And you know, if things are going good in your home and you'll make friends with another couple and they'll see the good coming off of your home and it'll help them and encourage them and boost them, and it all just gets intertangled and works together the way God intended it to be. God described His church as being a body, just like this physical body. I need every part of my body. It all needs to be in good working order. If this leg quits working right here, and it ain't getting along with this other leg, I'm going to have a hard time, ain't it? If they want to stay apart all the time. We'll get as far apart as they can. Now, how am I going to walk around like this all the time? You know, they need to get along. And they need to learn. You know, you're thought about how much in rhythm your legs are to walk. But what if this one says he's going to take two steps and this is going to take one? Now, wouldn't that be silly? But see, when a church is functioning right, that's the way it's going to be. It's all going to be smooth and there's going to be a stride about it, and God's going to be able to move the way He wants to. So it's important. I'm always going to point this back to the church. He should be precise. He should be a provider. But you say, well, Brother Dennis, I got no problem with that. He's to nourish. That's literally. This word literally means to bring to maturity. Husbands, you're to be the nourishment of your home. You're to bring your home to a spiritual maturity. You know, I grew up in a time to where a lot of men didn't even go to church. It's wives that come to church. I used to see men as I was growing up, they'd drop their children off for Sunday school, go back home, get out the newspaper and turn the television on. Come back and pick them up. And, you know, and it's not intended to be that way. The man is supposed to be the provider. He's supposed to bring nourishment to the home. He's supposed to be able to meet the spiritual needs of everybody in that home, be an encouragement to everybody. You see, fellas, we got a lot on us. We got a lot of responsibility. We're to bring our wives to the spiritual maturity where they ought to be. That's because of you. If you're not where you ought to be, they're never going to get to where they're supposed to be. Your wife ought to be a blessing to the church. I'm thinking about how Sister Renee is such a blessing to Liberty Baptist Church. And if Brother Ken weren't spiritual where he ought to be, she never would have got to the point to where she is now. You see, he's the one that actually provided the nourishment for her because she fell in under him and she's going to submit to him spiritually. You know, however the man is, that's the way the home's going to be. You know, if you're a carnal Christian, your home's going to be carnal. If you're a spiritual man, your home's going to be spiritual. And you need to remember that. It's real important that you remember that, as you're the nourishment. He needs to cherish the home. You know what this word cherish literally means? It means to soften with heat. To soften with heat. You are to cherish your wife. The husband ought to give tender love to his wife. Things that we don't need, fellas. Y'all know we don't need that. We don't need the romance. We don't need the ooey gooey. I love you, sweetie pie, honey, darling, pumpkin. But they do. So we've got to provide that need. It does not give nobody the right, but a lot of adulterous relationships come because the husband or that wife is not providing what they need. Fellas, ours is physical. We'll get there in a little bit. We have a strong physical need. We see things and we touch things, and that's the kind of things we need. Where women need the more emotional type things, and we got to figure out what they need. We got to learn how to soften them up. What most women need is this right here, ladies. Listen to this, and if I'm right, all you got to do is do one of your little amens. Okay, I like to hear them lady amens every once in a while. Listen to this. They just want to feel loved, and they crave special attention. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. That's all in the world a woman wants. They want to feel loved, and they crave special attention. But you know women, you know they'll do this. I know women really like to talk about other women. They start when they're little girls. If there's a pretty girl comes into school or into the church, the other little girls will yak about her. Try to find something wrong with her and throw off on her. And they're bad about doing that. And I've heard women say this, said, she's just an old heifer. Said, all she's trying to do is get attention. Well, I got news for you. So are you. Yeah. That's all a woman wants. But she wants to be the center of attention. She wants to be the attraction. Fellow, that's up to us to make her feel like that. And if you won't give your husband, your wife what they need, I will assure you that Satan has got many other men out there that will be sure to give them exactly what they need to try to bust that home up. I'm not saying that gives anybody the right. It does not. It's still sin regardless. We'll get there in a little bit. But let me tell you something. You need to fight this thing with everything you got, because that's one sin that's running rampant in our land and in our churches that's running rampant. And we need to do everything we can to fight this thing. We need to give them what they want. All right, if I'm always making my wife feel beautiful, which I should, shame on you. If you ain't told your wife in the last week how beautiful she is, shame on you. You're wrong. You're in bad shape. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not to be the judge, but I don't see an ugly woman in this place today. I don't see a woman in here that they wouldn't be another 20 men within her working area where she's at during the day wouldn't come to her and tell her how pretty she is. You better make sure you're doing that. She needs to feel beautiful. She needs to hear it from you. She needs to hear the words. You need to make her feel that way. Some of you say, well, she's not as beautiful as she used to be 10, 15, 20 years ago when we married. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Look at yourself. That always helps me. I don't look in the mirror much. So that's pretty obvious. People tell it by looking at me. I don't look in the mirror much. But when I do, I just turn and look at her and I think, good gracious, Lord, Vicky, how in the world, how do you put up with me? How in the world I get a woman as pretty as what you are, the way I look? I just can't figure that thing out, boy. You say, well, Brother Dennis, I really don't feel that way about my wife. What should I do? Brother Dennis, tell me, what should I do if my wife really does not attract me physically anymore? Can anybody answer that? Amen. Pray. You have not because you asked. Now, but I ain't never thought about praying about that. Well, duh. It works. You lose a physical attraction. You think God wants you to split up? You think God wants you, your wife not to look beautiful to you? You pray about it. He'll give it back to you. You'll get on fire again. Woo! Look at that. That's my wife. I was telling somebody the other day, when you're a young man, and somebody looks at your wife, you'll whoop them. And when you get my age, when they look at them, you just stick that old chest out. Hey, man, that's my wife. Hallelujah. Look at her. Yeah, I know she's pretty. But I ain't worried about you looking at her, because I make her feel like that every day. Hallelujah. That's the way it ought to be, folks. You need to make that little woman feel wanted and feel beautiful. Feel needed. And give her special attention that you don't give nobody else. Don't give nobody else the attention that you give her. You treat your wife better than you do your children. You give your wife time you would not give your children. You give your wife time you won't even give to the brothers and sisters down at the church house. Amen. Now, I might have to go put the pastor in a little bit different spot there. I ain't never been a pastor. I realize it requires a lot more time. But still, your church will allow you to have that time with your wife. If they'll leave you alone a little bit and do it right. Amen. Amen. If pastor ain't got time to spend with his wife, shame on the church. Shame on the church. Need to give her that special time. Special attention. So, what we need to do to be a provider. And I wrote this right here down, and I hope I get it out where it makes as much sense as it does to me. You know, when we as men see something we want, most of us, we won't stop at nothing to get it. We won't. You get the fever, buddy, you're going to get it, ain't you? You want a new deer rifle or a four-wheeler, you'll squeeze and push and mash and do everything you can to make it make sense. And if you have to go cut grass on the side or cut firewood and sell it extra, you'll come up with a way to provide that need for yourself. You know what you need to do? You need to take that same attitude towards your wife. I'll stop at nothing to give my wife what she needs. I'll do anything I got to do. If I got to work extra hours, whatever I got to do, I'm going to bring pleasure to my wife and give her what she needs. That is the basic attitude that a husband needs to have in a relationship. Okay, fellas. Amen. We talked about God's plan for a Christian husband. Now we're going to talk about God's plan for a Christian help. Not a heifer. Amen. A Christian help. Now, as we talk about constructing this house, we talked about the husband being the walls. I begin to think about the wife, and I mean, I'll be honest, I could think of a ton of things that a wife could be. But I got to thinking about, you know, even if these walls are strong and they hold up during storms and all that, you got to have some insulation to keep out the cold and keep in the warmth. And I just got thinking that maybe the wife for this help is the insulation in the home. You know, wives, we're going to back up a little bit to scriptures. Verse number 21, Ephesians chapter number 5 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, I want you to get this. This is really going to help you a whole lot. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And I've heard a lot of women say this. Well, I could submit if my husband would just get like he ought to be. He may never get the way he ought to be. May never be like, he may never be able to give you everything you need and be just perfect. But it says here, as unto the Lord, that I'll help you. That ought to make it easier. When you submit to your husband or when you fall in the rank of where you're supposed to be with your husband, you're doing it as unto the Lord. And if you submit, you'll bring honor and glory to God whether he ever does his part or not. Do you know that? Did you know God will bless you and give you a special blessing if you'll just submit and be where you're supposed to be in your family in that area of submission? Now, this area of submission is a military term to talk about military fashion or somebody's rank. It can also mean this word submission, a voluntary attitude of cooperation. Fellas, don't you ever think you're going to beat it in your wife's head, she's going to get submissive. You ain't never going to work that way. It's got to be voluntary. She's got to see it. Get that down, it'll help you. You're never going to make your wife be submissive. You're never, never, never going to. It is voluntary. She's going to have to volunteer to be under you in rank, in spiritual rank. Well, give me an example, Brother Dennis. Well, I submit today to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And next in line under them, I'm at Liberty Baptist Church. And Brother Kim Bowman is the pastor. He's not here today. I still feel like he's here. I'll be honest with you, I really do. Feel like he's here. I submit to him. Regardless, it don't matter. If Brother Kim were to walk in here right now and say, Brother Dennis, shut her down, we're going home. I ain't going to pout. I'm going to say, aye, aye, Captain. Amen. You say, well, is that the way I should be? If it comes down to it, if it's a spiritual matter, if it's something concerning his domain, yes, that's exactly what you ought to do. What if I don't agree with it? What if he's wrong? You just pray God shows him he's wrong. He's the one that's going to answer for it, not you. If I make a mistake and Vicky knows I'm wrong, she ain't got to answer for that. She's got a free ride. All she got to do is just let go and say, well, God will handle him. That submission is real important. It's real important everywhere. Oh, my gosh. Y'all, we have got to submit at work. We got to submit to the laws, our bosses. You got to submit to your pastor. You got to submit to all higher authorities. You got to submit to your husband's wives. And if you don't get all this just right in your life, there's no way in the world everything is going to work together. And I got some more news for you, and I'll show you a little bit in the Scriptures. You might as well forget about praying if you're not in submission. That goes for everything. If some of you men here already feel like you know more than Brother Ken does, you might as well forget about praying. Until you get submission under that pastor, you might as well forget it. Your prayer ain't getting higher than that ceiling. Same thing for you ladies until you get under submission. That's a shame not to be able to pray, but you won't be able to pray. I'll show you that in this little bit in the Scriptures. I'm not just going to let it be hearsay. It's a voluntary thing. And when you, ladies, when you finally realize that all you're doing is submitting and honoring God, it'll help you out. When you submit to your husband, all you're doing is honoring God. You're not really honoring your husband, you're just honoring God. You're honoring His Word, amen? You see, because I found out that as long as I obey the Word of God, no matter what I think or no matter what my heart feels, God will bless it. He'll bless me just for doing that. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter number 3. If you got your Bibles, turn. 1 Peter chapter number 3. I'd like to go there before I go further. Some of you already know where I'm going here. A lot of truth in this Scripture. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by conversation of the wise, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be with an outward adorning of plaiting of hair, the wearing of gold, the putting on of apparel. Let me straighten that out before y'all let some legalist tear you up with this. Amen. That does not mean you shouldn't wear gold. It does not mean you shouldn't fix your hair up and you ought to walk around in a flour sack. It says, whose adorning, let it not be with the outward adorning. It says in verse number 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible, even as the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. In other words, ladies, the way Dennis Rollins would tell you what that Scripture means is you ought to spend just as much or more time adorning the inside of you as you do the outside. Now, it takes Vicky 3 times long to get ready as what it does me. So, that means she's got a whole lot of adorning to be doing on the inside to be right with God in these Scriptures. That's the way I look at it. Now, so there may be men that differ from me on this, but I just ain't never felt no Holy Ghost conviction under somebody telling a woman she ought not wear any jewelry. Or she shouldn't fix her hair up right. The Bible often says a woman's hair is her glory. Women, that just comes natural. But I don't think much about the way I fix my hair. To me, the shorter the better, dry it off and go. But a woman, boy, they want hairstyles and they want hair colors and they want curls and they want straights and they want this and they want that. And Vicky's got this much stuff stacked up to go on your hair and I just grab whichever one. I don't care what kind of shampoo I put on this head. I don't care if it's soap. Don't matter to me. You know why? Because my glory's not in my hair. But a lot of people take that and say, well, a woman shouldn't never cut her hair. Now, where do you get that out of there? That's just a woman's glory. A woman's different about that. So this adorn, this does not go nowhere with these things. He put them out of perspective the way God meant them. It says, for after this manner, in the old time, holy women also trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. I know this is tough, ladies, but it's just true. You're going to have to trust the Lord. You got to trust the Lord. Listen to this next verse scripture, and this is really going to be a big old pill. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. You say, Brother Dennis, now you're going to tell me I got to call him Lord. It says, even as. That means like. Let me see, I wrote down something over here. It means in the same manner. It means as far as rank and as far as submission, that is the way you feel about him. He's the Lord. Just like you all, I hope every one of you do feel about Brother Ken. He's Lord of this church to me. God's Lord, I mean, but he's a spiritual head. I salute him. I respect him with everything I've got. Ladies, you should look at your husbands that exact same way. You should respect him as being the spiritual. You should encourage him to be the spiritual leader. We'll all go up to Brother Ken every once in a while and say, Brother, thank God you're preaching. Boy, I'm glad you're making a stand. I'm glad. I can tell you're walking with God. I can tell God just rolling off of you, boy. And ladies, y'all do the same thing to your husband every once in a while. It ain't easy toting that kind of load. I don't know what it's like to be a pastor. I'm glad I ain't going to know, Brother David. I'll be honest with you. I know what it's like to be a preacher. I know what it's like to be a pastor of my flock. And let me tell you something, ladies. That is not an easy task. And when some of you try to grab this thing and put on that helmet of being the head of the home, that's the reason you're going to struggle with it, because you ain't made to be there. Same reason these lady preachers and pastors are going to always struggle, because they ain't meant to be there. You just need to let your husband have it, and every once in a while encourage him. Say, I appreciate you being at home on the weekends. I appreciate you coming home at night. I appreciate you working for a living. I appreciate you growing in the Lord. I appreciate you being at the house of God every time we can and showing our children, showing me that's what's right. I appreciate you being the leader that you ought to be. Encourage him. Don't discourage him. Every time he makes a mistake, don't hammer him with it, because he's going to make plenty. Especially some of you young men that ain't been saved long. Ladies, you need to leave them alone. Encourage them every once in a while. I'm going to tell you something. I've always been that kind of man. You pat me on the back a little bit, brag on me, and I'm going to work for you that much harder. I've always been that way. How's that way when I played football? You let my coach brag on something I was doing, and I was twice the player after that what I was. You encourage me a little bit and see what happens then. Don't let the devil use you to be a discouragement to your husband. He's already fighting hell for you. He's already at the head of that house. He's going to have to answer for everything that happens in that household, and you need to encourage him and lift him up every once in a while. Submit. If it did, you know what? I ain't going to say you ought to call him Lord today, but if God wanted you to, you shouldn't have no problem with it. Amen. Even as Sarah. Now let me show you something right below this, where I told you I'd get. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Some of you ladies have a hard time handling that, but you are the weaker vessel. You know why? Not because I'm male chauvinistic, and that's my opinion. It's because the Word of God says you are. You are weaker. You can't, you know, that's why, I really like the fact that we don't have conferences at Liberty Baptist Church. We have had a few men's meetings in the past. And some of you ladies may say, well, I'm not included. Why ain't I included in that? You are when you talk to your husband at home. Y'all are just so emotionally weak that sometimes you can't make those kind of decisions, because us men are not emotionally weak. God made y'all that way to offset our weaknesses in that area. But in those areas, you have to submit and realize you are the weaker vessel. Sometimes your husband's going to make decisions that you don't like. But you know what? God did not put you in a position to make those decisions. You can't say, well, bless God, He ought to ask me. You know what y'all do? Y'all say, bless God, aye, Captain. I don't like it, but I'm fixing to submit to this thing. It don't matter. Same thing with a man of God. You know, I'm sure I ain't liked everything Brother Ken Bowman's done the last 12 years, but aye, Captain. Amen. He's the boss, man. It ain't me. Same thing about you ladies. That's where God wants you to be, right there in that spot. I think I got that pretty clear. Amen. Let me show you why in just a second, what I was saying. Giving all of them as the weaker vessel and being heirs together. Heirs together. We ought to be together of the grace of life that your prayers be not hindered. Wow. Whew. Lord mercy. All you that's got these little old kids like this here to here, before long they're going to be up there. And boy, you better be able to pray when they get that age. You better not let your prayers be hindered. You need to get your home in order. Sometimes it requires man having a little bit backbone. Sometimes it requires women having a little less. Let him be the leader God intended him to be. It's a word about rank. Not only is it a word about rank, it's a word about respect. This idea of submission speaks more of respecting one's husband than it does becoming his servant. That's why some of you women have a problem with it. You say, what if I submit to him? That means I'm just going to be his little slave. No, it does not mean that. And man, if you got that, you bad wrong. Wrong again, amen? Women thrive on attention, time, and affection. A man loves nothing more than having their ego stroked. That's all we want. Ladies, if you want to know, I don't know what a woman's like. I still don't know what makes a woman tick. Probably never will. We're so totally different. Thank God, I don't know how in the world these homosexuals got the thing figured out. There ain't no way in the world I could have that kind of relationship with somebody else like me. They different. I'm going to be honest with you. Them being so different, sometimes as a young man, it'll drive you crazy. But when you start getting a little older, it actually intrigues you a little bit. Yeah. It's kind of like a game, you know. I'm going to figure this thing out, bless God. You probably never will, but you'll enjoy the trip trying to figure it out. But I do know what a high man ticks. You know what, ladies? If you'll look at this way, and I mean really, you really need to look at this way. Now, I just got through telling you to submit, and you're going to think I'm going totally against what I just said. You need to remember, your husband ain't nothing but a little boy. That's all he is a little boy. He's still a little boy. We always going to be a little boy, in a way. We just a little old boy that likes to have our ego stroked. You know what? I raised two boys, and when they played sports, whatever they done, you know, they like to hear people talk about they did good or they hit good or they caught good or threw good. But you let daddy say it. Ooh, they like that. Son. Or mama. They like to hear mama over there squealing and hollering on the sidelines. Amen. That's the way us little boys are. We like to have our ego stroked every once in a while. We want to feel like Tarzan. I want to feel like, although I'm proud Vicky can be a little bit independent, when I'm gone one day, because I'm going for her. Amen. I got news for her. I'm going for she is. I ain't going to be sitting around without her if the grace of God allowed to be that way. But let me tell you something. I won't feel like she can't make it without me. And all you ladies trying to rise up, right, like you know everything, you can do everything, all you do is beating your husband over the head with a hammer. He wants to feel like you can't make it without him. Quit trying to be so strong. You ain't got to. If you got you a real man, you don't have to be that strong. You need to let him be the leader. Let him be what God made him to be. And you need to stay what God made you to be. And that's an encourager. A partner. Fellas, and it ain't a little old slave to drag around on a rope either, son. She's your partner. I've learned some of the most important things in my life come out of the mouth of my wife. Friday night, happened last night, same thing. God moved on that. He honored that because I listened to my wife. I wasn't too proud to say I couldn't listen to what my wife had to say. The sciences have proven this, fellas. We can only think with half of our brain at one time. This ain't a joke. This is a proven fact. Half of our brain, a man's brain is different from a woman's. We can think with half of it at a time. Woman can think with both sides. They can. It's a physical thing. It's true. You know, that's why Vicky will do this right here. She'll come up to me at work and she'll say, hey, she'll say, we need to go put stickers on this and we need to look up the price on this. We need to price this car and we need to call so-and-so about so-and-so. I said, whoa. You got to make me a list or go back to this first thing. I don't forgot the first thing you said now. And you know, when women make fun of men because, bless God, they can't multitask. Bless God, God didn't make us that way. We are one-dimensional, one-way thinking thing. Give us one job at a time and we can handle it. But you know what? God didn't give us our wives for us to stomp on them and us to make every single decision by ourselves. You see, give them a bit of think with both sides of their head. That way we can have somebody help us think about all this stuff and help us remember some of this stuff. Amen? It's a blessing. She's a partner. I'm going to see if I can remember this. I don't think I've got it wrote down anywhere. But... Y'all give me a second. I got to get my mind focused on this thing now. One thing at a time. God made Eve out of Adam's side. He didn't make her out of his foot to be stepped on. He didn't make him out of his skull to be head over him. He made him out of her side to be beside him. Took him right there next to his heart to get right next to his heart. She's your partner. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of y'all, if you ain't got enough respect for your wife to take her feelings and her ideas about stuff, you a dummy. That's the only way I know to word it. There may be some things we're better at and we're smarter at than them, but there's some things they know about that we won't never be able to touch, y'all. And you know, and that's why God gave you her, where you could see that side of it. You are together one person. Remember that. God said He joined man and woman together to be one. And if you'll put everything together, you'll be a whole lot better person for it. Because all the things she's good at, you ain't. God gave her to you where you could be a complete person. Did you know you're a complete person once joined together? You're one good person that way. Amen. Hey. Word about respect. You know, let me tell you something else, ladies. Man, y'all know y'all going to amen this. We don't hardly ever get it right, do we? Any of y'all too scared to say amen? Y'all like that? You ever get the feeling like, bless God, did I ever do anything right? I do. Sometimes I almost just, But let me tell you something, ladies. When we do get it right, y'all make a big deal out of it. If we do something right, finally, if we finally cross over that great plateau... And finally get up on top of the hill and we finally do something right, let's have a celebration, okay? Because honestly, every man in this room probably more likely feels like he can't do nothing right. Because y'all are very particular. If every man was honest and not afraid of it, he'd raise up his hands right now and say, most of the time, I feel like I can't do nothing right. That's why it's very important, ladies. If we do finally reach y'all's little plateau, then make a big deal out of it. Let us know we finally done it. We finally accomplished something. Now, ladies, am I telling you anything, though, that maybe y'all lighten up a little bit? Amen. You said, now we're meddling to the ladies, ain't we? It's the truth, ladies. Remember, y'all can think about 10 things at one time. See, y'all can do 10 things at one time. One is us. Got it? So when you start crowding in all these things, that's all you do is create. And then you say, you wasn't even listening to me. You know why we weren't listening to you? Because you was telling us more than one thing at a time. Vicky want me to pay attention? Tell me one thing at a time and I'll pay attention to you. Make sure the TV's off. Because if George is playing, I'm hearing, wah-wah-wah. Y'all ever watch Charlie Brown, that teacher? Wah-wah-wah. I'm watching a ball game. Wah-wah-wah. All right. Maybe I got my mind way off somewhere else, and she's trying to tell me a fourth thing. Wah-wah-wah. And then she'll say about 2 or 3 days later, I told you that 2 days ago. I say, okay. Whatever. I'm just being honest, y'all. Ladies, y'all need to realize too, like I said to the men a while ago, we different from what y'all are. And you gotta live with it. You know, you either gonna have to live with it, you gonna have to go against God and be like some of this rest of this crowd, the lesbians, amen. We're different. Just expect it. It's going to be that way. It'll help you a whole lot if you expect us to fall short, because we will. Go ahead and expect it. Tell him how strong he is and how much you need him. It'll do a whole lot for his stuff, self-esteem. You know, I said it a while ago about the little boys, but men, we act like we're macho and we're real tough, and we ought to be to a certain extent. But we actually just little boys that need reassurance all the time. We need to know you need us. We need to know that you love us. I like it when Vicky comes up to me and says, I like a big, strong man. She'll grab my arm. I like that boy. Vicky's hitting on the right track now. You know that's right, baby. That's the way I like to feel. Make me feel like it. Amen. Listen to this. Make a habit out of being an encourager rather than a discourager. I'm going to turn to another scripture that some of y'all ladies ain't going to like. Proverbs 21:9. I always think about Brother Doyle Phillips when I turn to the scripture. I'll tell you why in a little bit. Oh, Lordy. Chapter 21:9 said, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. I'm going to give that time soak in a little bit. Listen, ladies. Now, every man here is going to test this. Vicky already knows that she's done heard it every time I teach it, I mention it. If she wants me to get something done, the last thing in the world she better do is nag me about it. It will never get done. Now, I'll tell you another thing, talking about submission. If she comes up and tells me to do something, it'll never get done. You know why? Because I'm a real man. I'm actually crazy enough to believe this Word of God's right. I'm a spiritual leader in the house. She's not to be over me. She's not to tell me what to do. I believe when, ladies, when your sons get big enough, you're not telling them what to do anymore. They're men. You remember where you're supposed to stay, where you're at. And I know this goes against the modern dayism movement and all that stuff, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Don't be a nagger. I know a lot of good men that'll find every excuse in the world not to come home early in the evenings because they're tired of hearing it. It's just the truth. Ladies, you don't want to be there. You want to be a blessing. I'm going to tell you something. I'm 48 years old. Man, Vicky's been together a long time. I look forward every evening to seeing her. Even though sometimes I see her most of the day at work. If I go to sales sometimes, I can't wait to come around that corner to look at her, see what she looks like today. I'm serious, because when I left her at the house, she wasn't ready. When I come back, I want to see her again. I don't have to worry about walking in and she's going to hammer me with something. Bless God, when you ever going to get that utility room fixed? When you ever going to get that grass cut? When you ever going to fix that creek in the floor? When you ever going to paint that door? When you ever going to do... When you ever, when you ever, when you ever? That'd make me want to say, when you ever going to hush? Amen. You know what a good answer should be? Well, baby, whenever you be quiet about it, when I'm going to do something about it. Now, y'all know a lot of y'all probably think, boy, he's just acting ugly now. I'm just being honest with you. But boy, you let my wife come to me and say, she's learned that because this worked a lot here lately. Hey, will you please do so and so? I say, I'm thinking, show her, you know what I'm doing? I'm showing her that I appreciate her respecting me. And she asked me in a way she should, as a wife should, I'm going to break my neck getting it done. And husbands, y'all ought to be that way too, because that sends a signal to them. That shows them that they're going to get blessed if they're submissive the way they ought to be. You know, but if you jump to her every whim when she nags at you, you know what that's going to show her? If she'll nag, you'll get her done. All I got to do is nag him. Hey, he'll do it. Amen. I'm just being honest now. I'm telling y'all ladies how we are. We ain't like y'all. We totally different creatures. Try to be an encourager. Encourage us a little bit every once in a while and see how that does. You know what? It's easy for us to focus on the bad things. And there's going to be bad things. We're humans, y'all. Everybody in this room, we got stuff about us that's just ugly. All of us. And you can focus on that. Focus. That's what the devil wants you to do. But you know what you need to do? You need to focus on the good things about your husband or your wife. Your husband, you know, like me, Vicky is not blessed with a man that gets things done around the house. I'm not like that. And, you know, some of y'all ladies got that. Y'all thank God for it. I've never been good at that. I'm not a repair man. I'm not good at it. I'll be honest, I really don't know much of nothing I'm good at, to be honest with you, but there's something or another that I'm probably good at. Well, that's what Vicky needs to focus on. She needs to focus on, I'm really crazy about her. Maybe she needs to focus on that. Well, I'm glad I got a husband that just loves me. He acts like I drive him crazy. He looks at me and says, "Woo, baby." And I mean, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe a woman 46 years old, I'll feel blessed because her husband still feels that way, but I don't know. You see, we all got good and bad things about us. Whatever's good, focus on that. And husbands, it'd do us good to do that too. Every one of us. Focus on what's right. What's good. Lord, have mercy. Y'all pulling it out of me. I got a story. Those of you who heard this teaching have heard this story before now, but I really think it fits, and I'm going to keep using it as long as the Lord let me. There was a black minister once named Dr. E.V. Hill in a Baptist church, Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles. He lost his wife, Jane, to cancer a few years ago, or at the time the guy wrote this. And at her funeral, he described some of the ways that she made him a better man. He was bragging on the way his wife, "Lord, ladies, that ought to be your focus, that you make your husband a better man. I mean, that ought to be a lifelong focus of you." He said, as a struggling young preacher, he had trouble earning a living. It was tough. And his wife grew up in a lot of money, so she was used to having everything. He said he came home one night and found a dark house, and he opened the door, and he saw that Jane had prepared a candlelight dinner for two. And he thought, "Wow, what a good idea." He said he went in the bathroom to wash his hands, and he kept trying to turn the light switch on, and it wouldn't come on. And then he felt his way into the bathroom, the bedroom, and flipped on another switch, but it was still dark. And then he went back in the dining room and said, "Jane, why is the electricity off?" And she started to cry. And this hits home, man. It should be every man in here. She said, "You've worked so hard, and you've been trying so hard, and I know it's tough right now, but I didn't have the money to pay the light bill." Whew. Woo. You see, ladies, this kind of thing is important to us. Woo, I'll get there in a minute. She said, "I didn't want you to know about it, so I thought we'd just eat by candlelight." I could imagine it says that when he described these words, he had a lot of emotion about himself. I'm sure he did. And it says she could have come in and said, "Well, I've never been in this situation before. I was brought up with plenty of money. Here we are. We ain't got no electricity and, made fun of him, threw off of him, made him feel like he was about this tall." But instead, she made a good thing out of it. She said, "Well, one of these days, somehow, we're going to get our lights back on, but tonight, let's just eat by candlelight." Ladies, that's what we need. If you can get that little story down, that's what your husband needs to feel like. He needs to feel like that you feel like he can make it right no matter what. We don't need to feel like we're less of a man. I mean, we may fail. We ain't going to do everything right. I'll be honest with you. That's not what we said a while ago. We probably really are just going to get it right a little bit of the time. But we need to feel your support. We need that. It's men. It ain't all about physical. It's a word about realization, too. In maintaining your rank to the husband, you realize a lot of certain truths. First of all, ladies, and we've mentioned this before. First of all, it honors God. It'll honor God. The next thing it'll do that you need to realize that the husband's going to answer for the home, and we also talked about that. You know what, ladies? By you getting where you ought to be in the home and being in subjection, you're honoring God. You know, you really ain't got to answer for nothing in that home except for one thing. The one thing you got to answer to is your rebellion against the will of God. Your rebellion. And if you're not submissive, you're rebellious. You're going to answer for that, ladies. You ain't got to answer for nothing else in that home because your husband is a spiritual leader at home. We're going to have to answer for that. But you're going to have to answer to your rebellion. You need to make sure you've got that thing right. Submission cannot be forced. We talked about that before. It's a submission is an act of will. You either walk in obedience to the clear teaching of the Scriptures or you live in rebellion. There's no in between, ladies. There's no in between. There's no middle ground with this thing. Either you walk in the will of these Scriptures or you're in rebellion against God. And let me tell you one thing that I've noticed too. It's possible for you to be outwardly submissive and to be inwardly rebellious. You need to let that thing penetrate down in that heart. God knows your heart. God knows all about you. You need to get that rebellion out of you. God's laws always supersede that of your husband's. Always remember that, ladies. Never forget that. Well, you say, well, what if my husband's lost? You still ought to submit to him. What if my husband's wrong? You still ought to submit to him as long as it don't go against the Word of God. You say, where should I stop my submission, Brother Dennis? You should stop it whenever he goes against the book. When he goes against the Word of God, I think you've got rights then to submit to God and not to submit to him. I want to read this right here, and then we're going to move on to the next section. Ecclesiastes 10:18 says, by much slothfulness or laziness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of hands, the house droppeth through. You want your home to rot and fall to the ground? You just get lazy. You act like I ain't got to do nothing but show up. All I got to do is just be here. I promise you. If you don't put no work into it, if you don't work at it, it'll fall apart. Amen. Y'all be dismissed for a little bit. We'll come back and get the next section.